Welcome back to another edition of Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source, a production of the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Well, folks, we got a lot to talk about tonight. We're going to talk to Shane Laws a little bit about the Spec Motor program that they've been working on. And I want to clarify something. I'd put up my normal Monday Facebook post, and I'd said something about it being a NASCAR Spec Motor. I want to clarify that this has not been approved by NASCAR yet, but it is a Spec Motor program that is in the works. And Shane Laws is going to come on here and explain a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about some big announcement that happened at Bristol, come out this past weekend. We're going to talk a little bit about Dodge trying to get back into racing up in the premier divisions, and hopefully that's going to trickle down to some of the Saturday night programs that we have out there. But at this time, I'd like to welcome Shane Laws back to Stars Radio. Welcome back to Stars there, Shane.
Thank you very much for having me tonight. I appreciate it. Can you hear me okay, sir?
Yes, sir. We got you just loud and clear there. Well, Shane, you know, I seen some rumbling this past week about this Spec Motor out there, and there was, you know, a lot of pros and a lot of cons out there. And, you know, there's a lot of, is it going to have this? Is it going to have that? Well, I don't like to beat around the bush. I like to go straight to the source, and I know you from many years of racing up there at Langley Speedway, and you're one of the most highly respected tech men there is out there, and you work for NASCAR in that aspect. And I want to bring you on here and let you kind of clarify a little bit about this program and tell us what tracks is going to be running and how the whole program come about. So, Shane, if you could, kind of explain this a little bit to us.
Yeah, and I'll try to, if I get going down a road too far and you reel me in, just tell me, but I'll try to give you the high level. I guess it was about maybe 3 months ago, Ravon Clark, Daryl Poe, and Billy Banks approached Lynn Carroll and myself about an engine that they were putting together, and it's really not a total spec engine. It's just an upgrade to the current Chevy GM motor, you know, and my first thing was that I told them, I said, okay, I'll come listen and sit down with you and talk with you, but I'm only interested if it's going to be a cost savings to the competitor once they upgrade. Now, like anybody else says, any rule change, it's going to cost people money. So it's definitely going to cost a little up front, but so, and the more they talked about it, and the more I started liking the package. And basically what it is, a high level on the motor, you take your, just if the current GM Chevy built engine that you have in your late model stock car right now, if you were to take that out of your car and go set it on the doorstep of one of these engine builders, and also Donna Kowalski, I'm sorry, I forgot to say Don. If you were to take this engine out and put it on their doorstep and say, hey, I'd like to convert this over to this new package, what do I have to do? Well, there's a couple of options. You can go out and you can, like on a normal refresh, you cannot do the pistons and the rings, and you can do, this would be change the cam over to a roller cam from a regular flat tappy cam to a roller cam. Change the head to the new aluminum style head with 7mm valves in it, just like the other crate engines have. Put a Victor Jr. intake on, which is really a little better intake than the current 2101 style intake. And the original package had it with a soaker spacer plate and a 390 carburetor. Well, we had Mark Works test this for us at South Boston, and you know, we decided to come back down to the 500 carburetor. So now you don't have to purchase a 390 carburetor. You use the current 500 carburetor you have, and for that part of the upgrade without the pistons and rings, it's $5,800. Well, that part of it, you know, you're going to spend $4,200 anyway. Roughly, that's the average going price, $4,200 for a refresh, and then it's $2,800 for this conversion. But if you want to go with the pistons and rings added also, change everything out, it's $7,800, which is a pretty good price. You know, right. Everything's expensive in racing. So it's really a good conversion over. And what it does is it gets the GM-built engine into a comparable state with like, say, if you were to pick one at a Ford crate engine right now, you know, what it does is it just gives you the aluminum heads like in a Ford has, the same seven millimeter valves, the roller cam like on the Ford also, open plenum intake like on the Ford crate. I think one of the scariest things was that people seem to think, some of the conversations that you've seen on Facebook, because I went ahead and just put it out there on Facebook, you know, so everybody started talking about it. They seem to think that this motor is going to be the be-all, have-to-have-all of engines, and it's really not. When Mark Wirtz tested this engine at South Boston, and he was going to compare times back to, say, the previous week, it kind of put him in between third and fifth in qualifying, you know, so, and that was with the 390 carburetor. So we still felt like it was going to have a little too much horsepower, so we backed it down with a suggestion from Randy Merriman from Motor Mile Speedway. You know, talking with him, he kind of suggested that we maybe go back down to the 500 carburetor. So that's kind of where we are on that. So it's not really a total spec engine. It's just a conversion. So, you know, say if you're the local racer that feels like they can't afford to get a new Chevy GM built engine or go get a new whatever crate engine, and for $5,800 they can convert the motor that's sitting in their car now over to this new package. Did that kind of help some on that part, or you have more questions just on that part of it?
It did. I like that. I agree with what you said. You know, there is a little bit cost up front, but it, you know, if it increases the longevity of the motor itself, and you know, it makes that Ford crate, you know, puts it on an equal playing field. And I mean, we know that everybody's been whining about that Ford crate motor for a while, and that's why a lot of people went to that crate motor, because it was superior to that regular 350 built motor. I think it's a good option there, but my question is, what is the purpose of putting the rev limiter on? Why are we going to limit them at 7,200?
Well, see, one thing, well, first off, let's talk about the Ford crate motor. That is a great engine, okay? Right. I don't have any problem with the Ford crate engine. Mr. Delahanty at Ford has done a great job on putting that total Ford package together, so it is a good option. You know, I guess what the engine builders did was they wanted to try to put together a GM option. And right, the purpose for the 7,200 chip in it is to, you know, one of the biggest things that I've seen with the failures on crate engines or engines, any engine in general, is turn them too many RPMs. You know, the more RPMs you turn, the more strain on everything, the more you're wearing out parts, the more you have to do rebuilds. Every time you do a rebuild, it's roughly $4,200. You know, it's anywhere, you know, some engine builders are $5,200, some are $4,200, you know. It's a big spectrum. It's anywhere from $4,000 to, I'd say, $6,500 to rebuild, roughly. You know, so every time that you take it back, you got to spend more money. Well, Ford is getting it now on their part where you have to do less rebuilds. Well, but if you keep the RPMs down. Right. So on this GM package, the engine builders, they suggested the 7,200 chip, saying, hey, look, we'll put the roller cam in it, we'll put the aluminum heads, the intake, the carburetor, and we'll put a 7,200 chip on it. That'll keep the RPMs down. That'll be less rebuilds. You may only have to rebuild once a year, and you may want to, if you go into one of the year-end races, say at Martinsville, Myrtle Beach, Southern National, you know, a big year-end race somewhere, you may want to freshen it up for that race, but you probably wouldn't have to. And then if you freshen it up for that race, you're good to start the next season is what they're saying. You know, so I by no means am the engine expert. I'm going off of what all these guys are telling me. You know, it looks like a good plan. The main thing I told these guys, and I'll say it on air and everybody can quote me, I said, these prices you're telling me, you know, it's $2,800 additional only to $4,800 to convert over. So it was roughly 5,800, then it's 7,800. I said, y'all guys cannot come back in 6 months and start gouging these guys, you know, $6,000-$7,000 on top of what you're already saying. You know, we got to stay with this thing. That's the only way I want to be involved, is if we're trying to help in the end save these racers money. And we all know you have your big money teams, and then you have your teams that are your everyday worker that just does it on the weekend just for a hobby. But he feels like, and his car's been sitting in a garage because he feels like he didn't have a competitive motor and he can't afford it, and he goes spend the 19. You know, new engines range from, you know, one engine builder says 19.2 all the way to, I've seen them up to 29,000, you know. Oh. So, and that's on GM, Ford, that's on anything, you know. So there's such a big spectrum of prices out there that the reason Shane Laws is so for this engine is I really feel like the average Joe can convert over for $5,800, get the aluminum heads, get the horsepower he feels like he needs to compete. And that's going to bring him back to the racetrack.
Right.
You know, now the same average Joe racer may run out of money for tires or whatever, and that puts him back in the garage, but at least he feels like he's got an engine package that he can run with the guys down the straightaway.
Right. And if you, one of these guys, you know, the Saturday night guys, like you're talking about, the Joe average worker, you know, they may say, okay, well, now I may only want to run 15 races this year, but I know every time I go to the track, I got a good shot of winning because I have just as good a motor as anybody else out there has got. And that's a great aspect. And I just wanted to clarify the purpose of the 7,200 RPM. I kind of had it figured out in my head, you know, why you guys was doing it. But Sharon, I got somebody sent me a question, was asking me, is this motor, this 350 Chevy motor, is this motor going to be allowed in different classes, or is this mainly going to be a late model stock motor?
Right now, as far as I know, it's mainly late model stock car. The original test that was done in South Boston with Mark Works was, the original test was done with a late model package set up, everything. Well, then the engine builders thought, okay, well, maybe we could see if maybe it'd be good for the limited late models or some other division or whatever. So they made some restrictor plates, and they put restrictor plates. As soon as he finished testing the total late model package, they took off and put on a restrictor plate, put the carburetor right back on, and went out and tested, and had comparable speeds to other divisions. So I would have to say yes, if a track chooses that they like this motor after it's run for a while, and see, they may choose to go to this in multiple divisions with different restrictor plates, because, as you know, you can take an engine and you can put a restrictor plate on it and use various size holes and slow it down as much as you want to.
Right.
You know, so, I don't know. I just think it's a good package. I'm definitely not the expert, but when Lynn Carroll and I sat down with him, and Lynn and I talked afterwards, and we liked it, and, you know, I have a lot of respect for all these engine builders out there. You know, Daryl, Rayvon, Billy,
right,
Don, David Webb, man, Charlie Long, Junior King, Charlie, I mean, all these guys, Charlie, I mean, these guys are such experts, you know, and I learned so much from them, you know, and I respect all the comments from all the engine builders, good, bad, because they're talking it out. And the best thing that I think came out of me posting that on my Facebook page was it got everybody talking about it, everybody voicing their opinions, you know, putting where their scares are. And, you know, I truly understand any change comes with people being scared of the change or thinking it's going to be better or equal, you know. But what I see is, just like, and I can only speak for the things that Shane Laws has done, just like at Myrtle Beach Speedway, working with Steve Zacharias on the Myrtle Beach 400 and working with Lynn on the Martinsville race, you know, we had different weight packages. We had the Ford crates at 3,100, 1,400. We had the GMs, you know, at Myrtle Beach, we had them at 3,075, 1,365. You know, we had the GM crates at 3,050, $1,375. You know, so I think what this package is going to put, it's going to put the GM built motors back even $3,100, $1,400. And then, you know, I still don't think it's going to be the best motor out there, so it still may be $3,100, $1,375. I'm not sure. You know, that's just like with any engine. Just like we test and tune, and we as the officials try to make the best decision we can on how it's going to make parity out there amongst all the racers, you know. So, you know, all the comments on Facebook, I hope people keep talking about it. That's the only way we're ever going to get all this stuff situated.
That's right. Yeah. And it's so nice to have this social media. You know, back in the day, we didn't have this. You know, if there was a change, you know, it just kind of filled a word to mouth until you got back to the track until it was officially put out. So this is a great tool for what you've done here, Shane, to get that feedback, you know, because I'm sure there's been some questions that's been asked that even you and Lynn have thought, wow, I hadn't ever really thought about that, you know, and you got to go back and research a little bit and maybe ask some of these engine builders their opinion on some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, everybody hates to see negativity, even me, you know. I've learned to deal with it over my last 24 years. I sat back and looked. I've been on this side of the fence for 24 years now, and there's always something negative going on, but when we get to the racetrack, everything seems to be okay, and it works out, and, you know, I guess it's been, you know, I started looking and started researching, and I start seeing some of the negativity, and I start second guessing myself. You know, I say, "Hey, man, am I really doing the right thing? Am I going down this path? Am I right, or is it going to be? You know, I laugh at myself. Is it going to be the end of Shane Law?" So, man, I love late model stock car racing, and all the racers will tell you. Anybody that knows me knows that, man, I love this. I love this series. I love late model stock cars, and I don't want to see nothing hurt it, and I really don't think this is going to hurt it. And if I'm wrong, I'll come back on your show, and I'll apologize, but I really think this is going to be a good thing. You know, it's been like 25 years since the Chevy Builds have really had an upgrade, you know? The clock right. Heads now, and here's kind of like a pricing example, you know, and, I mean, I hope you don't mind, but I called Mark Works, a few days ago, and I said, "Hey, man, tell me what you paid for your last set of clock heads." And he said, "Well," he said, "I finally found the set because they actually quit manufacturing those in 1992, you know. And I said, "Tell me what you found." He said, "Well, I found a set in California, and I paid $1,500 for them. Then it cost me about another $2,000 to get them worked and get them ready to go on my built engine. So by the time it's all said and done, parts and labor and buying them and everything, you got about $4,200 just in a set of heads."
Right.
And right now, these aluminum heads, you can go online, they're the Dart heads, you can go online and look at them, and I think you pay, I don't have the price sheet in front of me, but I think it's $1,095 for the heads, and then I think you pay Kevin Blanks, who is going to do the heads. He's got a program set up. Every head will be serial numbered and have the exact CCs on every head. Every head will be cut the same way. They're making tech tools for all the racetracks that want the tech tools so you can CC the head in the combustion chamber and in the runners. You know, and I think he cuts the heads to suit, you know, to make them where they should be. I think that's another $495, I think, or $500. I can't remember exactly, but I think for maximum $1,600, I think you can get a set of heads done.
That's about what I've heard too, Shane, about $1,600 for a set of them. Well, what tracks have signed on to allow this engine to be ran at their tracks?
Well, currently right now, unless anything's changed, and I hope they're okay with me saying this, but right now, Randy Merriman at Motor Mile Speedway, Steve Britt and Chris Steffi at Dominion Speedway, Wayne Perry and Dalford Briley at East Carolina, and I actually spoke with Wayne Perry this afternoon, and he is so excited about this engine, you know, and that makes me feel good that somebody's actually excited about it other than at a group I've been working with, you know, and then Caraway Speedway, Darren Hackett and David Saunders there, at Caraway Speedway. Actually, really, I talked with David a little while ago, and I think they're getting ready to put it on their website tonight or tomorrow. Or I know their schedule's coming out sometime soon, tonight, tomorrow, or something. And when they post their schedule, they're going to put it out there. So it looks like right now, Motor Mile, Dominion, East Carolina, Caraway, right now. So, that's where we are now. And then, you know, I'm hoping that my home track, hopefully one day it'll open up, and whoever purchases that track or gets it, or if it does open, you know, I'll talk with them, and hopefully they'll allow it since I'll be there to police it. So, you know, that'd be Langley Speedway, but, you know, I'm hoping that helps. You know, something else that I didn't mention either was, you know, the current headers that are on the motors now will still work on these heads, you know, so you don't have to buy headers either. Awesome. You know, so everything the racer has on his GM motor will convert over to this new package.
Awesome.
So, I don't know. I hope I'm answering the questions, and I hope the tracks are okay. You know, those are the same tracks that I posted on my Facebook page, so it's not like I'm saying anything new. I'm hoping more tracks get interested. I know that the banquet is this coming weekend, and I think on Thursday all the tracks get together for a few hours and talk. And I know there's going to be positives, be negatives, but at the end of the day, I hope everything goes good. And I hope more tracks get involved. And man, I just hope this thing, because man, I really feel in my heart this is going to be a good deal. And I just hope I'm right.
I think it will be, Shane, and you did answer a lot of questions, and if I get any questions sent to me, maybe we'll get you back on here and talk a little bit more, try to answer some of these questions with some people's guidance. You know, Shane, I've been knowing you for a long time, since the middle 90s, been on the opposite end of some calls that I didn't necessarily agree with you, but there's one thing I can always say, you're always fair. We may not agree, but we always normally wound up and had some pizza and some adult beverages at the end of the night, no matter what the outcome of that shed of doom over there at Langley Speedway was.
Yeah, and now, you know, one thing that I didn't say, and I'm trying not to leave any stone unturned in this little bit of time, you know, if you don't have a GM engine and you were to take a checkbook and walk in and say, hey, build me one, well, then naturally you're going to be back up in the price range of $15,000 to $19,000 like anything else. You know, the biggest thing that I wanted out of this deal was, because you're always going to have the people that can just walk in with a checkbook. The biggest thing that I wanted out of this whole deal that I like that these engine builders brought to us. Now, this is not a Shane deal. This is just something that Shane likes that was presented to him that I really think is a great deal. So, you know, I was never part of the building of it, never part of the planning of it. I was just part of they showed it to me. It was an idea because they seen the same thing on the wall, more cars sitting in the garage. You know, so you're always going to have the teams that can walk in with a checkbook. But my goal was, how do I get the cars out of the garage?
Right.
And these guys came up with what I think is a good product. And not everybody's agreeing with it right now. And, you know, sometimes you just have to agree to disagree. I remember when the crate motors first came out. Man, everybody was like, oh, no, man, this will never work. And, man, it's like the way of the world now, you know?
Right. Absolutely. I remember, too. I was a little skeptical, but I love the crate motor now.
I hope I did this motor justice, trying to explain it. I guess in a sense I am trying to sell it, but I'm not trying to sell it. I'm just trying to put all the facts out there and tell you how Shane Laws feels about it. And I think it's a good deal. And I was honored that these guys, Lynn Carroll and the engine builders, I'm honored that they called and asked me to even look at it.
Right. Well, Shane, I want to thank you for taking some time and joining us here tonight on the show. And, man, like, if we have some more questions, and once we get into the season, see how this motor's running, you know, we'll bring you back on here, and we'll talk a little bit about it, and see how these motors are comparing to what we already had, and see what the perspective is from all the racers out there.
Yes, sir. And look, if you get any questions tonight or any day or whatever, just text me or or call me up and ask me, and, you know, even if I'm not on the show, you know, I'll try to answer the questions and you can relay it out there. But anyway, I really appreciate y'all having me on the show and letting me talk about this, and it was an honor. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Shane. Hopefully you have a good, successful 2017 season, and I'll run across your track somewhere.
Yeah, and just on a last note, I'd like to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and no matter what, any track it decides on this motor or any motor or whatever, let's all just stay together on social media. Let's not bash each other. Let's stay together, because at the end of the day, we need all the racetracks for us to get our little fix on the weekend on our hobby.
Absolutely. Folks, Shane Law broke down that new spec type motor with all the changes, broke it down about as best he could break it down there, and that's why we wanted to bring him on here and get that information put out. Folks, I want to put out a quick thing. It was announced this past week that May 19th, 20th, and 21st is going to be a big race at Bristol Motor Speedway. They're calling it the inaugural U.S. Nationals of Short Track Racing, and they're going to have super late models, pro late model stocks, street stocks, IMCA, Florida type modifieds, and compacts, U-car type cars going to be there. And next week, we're going to have the folks from Voorhees, which is sponsoring this event, and Jerry Caldwell from Bristol Motor Speedway here on Stars Radio to run down the complete schedule of what's going to happen and how it all came about. So you don't want to miss that next Monday night. Or, I'm sorry, it won't be next Monday night. It'll be 2 weeks from now. It'll be the 19th of December, because there will not be no Stars Radio next Monday night. Hopefully we'll see everybody back here on the 19th and get the complete rundown on what's going to happen up at Bristol, because this is going to be a great deal. Patrick Reynolds and Speedway Reports coming up at the 7:30 hour. You don't want to miss that. We'll see everybody back here in 2 weeks. Stars Radio, your short track auto racing source. Production of Zeus Radio Network, Full Racers Reunion Radio. Military Unit of the Week is the United States Air Force Reconnaissance Division, which is out of Reno, Nevada. You are our Military Unit of the Week. We'll see everybody back here in 2 weeks. Good night and God bless.